What an amazing morning for the singing. I didn't think we'd make it to the preaching today, but I'll preach. Amen. I'll preach.
Oh, what a glorious thing it is to have a shepherd that loves me. Oh, what a blessing it is to have people in the house of the Lord that love each other and will pray for each other. We have such a blessing for our Lord. Somehow we forfeit that everything in this whole world will just take you in and pile upon you. You know what? It's all good and all the mercy. It's been a minute of time, Lord. He loved me. He took us down the staff and he whacked me a couple of times, drawing me back to him. He's never forsaken me. If you're here today and you don't know about shepherds, this has been the greatest day you've ever been to find a shepherd. It's great. I just couldn't help it. I need to stand up sometimes and talk about my faith.
Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountains, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. When you come down from the mountain this morning, when you come down from this message, when you come down from this service, when you come down from church, real things are going to happen. Real problems are going to hit you. Real issues are going to happen. Church is easy. Church is anybody can come to church. Anybody can come worship. Anybody can come in here and sit. And anybody can look around and say, well, I can pretend to be that. But after it's over with, when it's all said and done, when Monday comes, when Tuesday comes, there's going to be some real issues. I've seen this man who is a leper. He came to him and it's an outward issue. It's an issue that you can't deny. There's some of you in here, y'all going to pretend your way through this thing, but I can't help you. Listen, there's some people coming here today. You got some real issues. You know what it really is. You know what the problem really is. It's a health issue. It could be cancer. It could be anything. It could be a heart issue. It could be a drug issue. It could be a lying issue. It could be a family issue. There's something in your life right now that you don't need nobody to tell you what the problem is, and nobody has to describe it because they know, because it's ruining your life. This man came down and said, look, Jesus, that was a good sermon, but here I stand. So here I stand before you. I'm a leper and I need somebody to touch me because I'm dying. Some of you in this room, you're dying. You got real issues. You got real problems. You're going through divorce. You're going through financial bankruptcy. You're going through a health issue. And guess what? You come in here this morning and you're hoping that you can make it to 12:30. But guess what? Why don't you reach out and touch Jesus and let Him touch you? Because what is it going to make a difference if we come in here with our problems and leave with our problems and don't let God have them? Why did we even come here? I ask you, I challenge you. This man listened to the whole message and he was like, this is great. But when he came down off that mountain, he stood there and he said, all right, Lord, here I am. What are you going to do now? You going to touch me? What? Jesus wants to touch the things that we don't want to touch. Since Jesus has died, guess what? We're supposed to touch those things. Well, that might ruin me. That might defile me. The one that should have been defiled wasn't worried about being defiled. You know, if we touch the defiled thing, maybe it'll get healed and it won't be defiled anymore. I believe the church, a lot of times we're just afraid to touch people because we're worried about what it's going to cost us and how it's going to look. Ministry's ugly sometimes, and ministry costs, and ministry is not cheap on time or energy or sleep or anything. Sometimes you just got to go. He touched him. He touched him on that place that everybody knew was messed up. Amen? There's people in here this morning with issues that everybody knows about in your family. Everybody knows about it, and you know about it. And you can't hide it. That's leprosy. Leprosy's out on the skin. It's out on Front Street for everybody to see. Amen? An alcohol issue, it's right on Front Street. Guess what? A sickness is right on Front Street. Nobody comes up to you and talks to you anymore about how's it going. They talk about how you're doing with your sickness. Wouldn't it be good if we talked to God about that more than anybody else? God, I want you to touch me. I want you to heal me. God, I want you to fix me. Amen? Praise God. I love this leper. I never preached on this guy before. But man, he heard a good sermon. But you know what? When the sermon's over and Jesus comes down off the mount, what's going to happen then? I need Jesus tomorrow more than I need him today. Amen? I can make it through a Sunday, but Monday happens. And the real problems show up. I'm glad Jesus can touch a real problem. He's not afraid to deal with your problems this morning, whatever they may be. I'd encourage you, if you got one of them real big issues that you can't beat and you can't fix, you should make your way up here to the altar and talk to the one who can. I mean, seriously, you need to talk to him. You need to see God and quit dilly-dallying, quit messing around. Go right to the point. Hey, God, it's not, I want this to happen. I want this to happen. I want this to change. I want this to be better. I love this. I love that leper. He wouldn't, hey, well, if you'd fix my mom and dad, if you'd do that. He said, look, I got a big problem. And I know you're a big problem, God. Can you solve this one? He can. Or he'll give you peace about it and show you why you're going through the problem. Amen? Because sometimes you going through the problem is to show somebody else God's bigger than your problem. And I love this. Verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth homesick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should comest under my roof, but speak the words only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not even in Israel, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness and shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou believest, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Guess what? I love this. This is a problem with an enemy of yours. Jesus just preached a message about how to treat your enemy. Love your enemies. Bless your enemies. Take care of your enemies. If they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Lord, bless the people that hate you. Boy, that's a great sermon. Hard to live. Great message. Ain't doing it. Amen? What do we do instead? If we got somebody that we're mad about or angry with, what do? We proceed to diminish them, belittle them, take their character and assassinate it. Matter of fact, we don't bless them, we kill them. Amen? But instead, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to go to God about it and them about it. I'll say it again. Go to God about it and go to them about it. You've told everybody that you shouldn't have told. You should have told God. I guarantee you, you're going to be accountable to messages you hear.
Because you're going to hear good messages, and then you're going to walk out of here, and then you're going to have to put them to application. Man, you can shout in here. You can run in here. I forgive. Forgiveness. Hallelujah. Forgiveness is awesome. But then you've been working a grudge for 25 years. Golly, y'all going to mess around and make me preach. Some of you ain't forgave your mamas or your daddies or your brothers or your sisters. Some of you are mad right now. If I was to talk to you, you'd say, man, I want to tell you how they've done me wrong. Listen, you can't forgive them people. You don't stand a chance.
Wow,
some of you are still mad at somebody in the church that probably don't even know here. Some of you are mad at people you work with, and guess what? You're so mad about them, when you go to work, you ruin work and your testimony, because guess what? You tell everybody how mad you are about the person you're working with. Maybe God put them in your life for you to be a minister to them.
Amen.
Not for you to sit there and wear them out. It would be weird if they heard words like this. You know what? I really don't like you, but I forgive you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to tell everybody else at work how bad you are. I'm going to talk to God about it, and I'm going to try to get a spirit of forgiveness, and when I'm dealing with you, I'm going to try to deal with you out of love. I might just be preaching to myself. Some of y'all need to forgive some people, for real. Listen, it's going to be good to come in here and say, well, we got true men together. And praise God, you may forgive nobody in 5 or 10 years. You're holding grudges. Matter of fact, being honest, there's going to be things that happen in this church. Some of y'all won't forgive the pastor. Some of y'all won't forgive counsel. Oh, stop, preacher. Stop. You don't know what they did. Well, let me ask you this question. What did God forgive you of? What did he forgive you of? Why can't you lay down something that you're holding against somebody in leadership? You know how hard it is to be in leadership? Sometimes you don't make the right decision. But you're making some. While I'm not here, I might as well just go ahead and dance on the other end of the limb, right? Some of us preachers and some of us councilmen need to extend that same forgiveness. We're in a place of leadership. There are some people that we need to go back to and say, you know what? I'm sorry. I don't make all the right decisions all the time, but I'm trying to do the best I can. And if I've hurt you, I'm sorry. What about forgiving? Guess what? There were two things on the cross. One did and one didn't. One accepted, one didn't. I guarantee you this, if you really mean it out of your heart, you'll feel better for it.
Amen.
If you're not careful, somebody's going to come along and blow your doors off. What do you mean? Somebody you think you're better than? There's all kinds of Jewish people there who were religious, and all of a sudden a centurion shows up. If you don't know who a centurion is, it's a Roman officer. He's a Gentile. He's already built the church. He loves the people, and he absolutely doesn't belong there. And he's coming to Jesus, and he's like, look, I don't care who I am. I got a sick servant at home. What? Not a son, not a daughter. Somebody who works for me. That blows me away. It's amazing how petty we can be. We can be petty while somebody else is trying to get God to work on somebody's behalf that they probably shouldn't even be working on or worried about. He shows up. He goes, I got a problem that's far away. Some of y'all need to hear this. The centurion had a problem that's far away. Amen. Some of y'all got some problems that are far away. Maybe some kids are off in college. Maybe some family members you can't get to. Probably some situations you can't get to. They can be 30 minutes away or 300 miles away. You know what? They're big issues. And you're trying to figure out how God can handle them. Guess what? Do like a centurion did. He blew Jesus away. It'd be good if he blew Jesus away every once in a while. He blew Jesus away by his faith. You know what he come down to? He said, I'm a soldier. And I got 100 men, that centurion. That's what I mean. I got 100 men under me. And if I give an order, and I tell somebody to come, they come. If I tell them to go, they go. He said, I think you have more authority than anybody in this world. And I believe you're going to have a problem that's far off. Some of y'all got problems that are far off. Some of y'all got husbands that ain't here today. Some of y'all got wives that aren't here today. today. Some of y'all got children that are not in church anymore. Some of y'all got some big issues that are out there. No, I thought God can't get out there. I hate to tell you, but you did it wrong. Because I'm one of those that were out there, and nobody comes out here but God. Amen? You keep praying for God to go, because God can get into places you can't get into. Jails, hospitals, in your head about 9 o'clock, about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
Oh, don't let me preach it. Have you ever had God crawl up into bed with you about 3 o'clock in the morning when you lost?
Some of y'all got a problem that's way off. But I got a good news for you. God's not a way off God. He's an omnipresent God. That means when you go to hiding, if you go to hiding, wherever you find your hiding place, that real good hiding place that you think God can't find you, and you're tucked in and you hid real bad and you got the lights off, when you get real hunkered down and you've been there, all of a sudden God will be able to say, what are we hiding? Amen? I'm hiding from you. It's impossible. David said, if I make my bed in hell, God will be there. That's what it said. Some of y'all think you're going to get off the hook. Well, at least when I get to hell, I won't have to hear the preaching. Wrong answer. You'll have eternity to sift through the messages you sat in here on and wished you had made a decision, no matter who thought what about you. Some of y'all come here every Sunday and you're more concerned about what the people to your left and right think than what God thinks. Well, they'll think I'm this if I go. They'll think if I do that, if I get radical. You know what? All God wants is for you to be radically in love with Him. He wants you to be passionate. Some of y'all are better at getting your feelings hurt than you are worshiping and serving God. You're quick to tell people how mad you are, but you're not quick to tell them when God blessed your socks off. I'll tell you what bothered me. Oh, we're great. I hadn't heard from you in 3 months. Tell me what's wrong. 3 people get saved. We baptize 20. We have 15 people join the church. And all you want to talk about is you didn't do it my way. We're not doing it your way. We're doing it His way. And if you don't like His way, then make your own way. Whew. I wasn't going to preach this way. It's not my intent. It's a God thing. So if you got some problems, whether they be real surface problems, everybody knows about them, or you got some issues that are far off, God can handle them. Let's get this last one. Verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of the fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many of that were possessed with the devils. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Peter's mother-in-law was sick and Jesus entered the room. She had a fever. That means there's an issue that's below the surface. It's showing you there's something wrong, but you really can't figure it out. Am I close on that one? Some of you doctor think this? Got a fever, but we don't know what's wrong with you. Some of y'all got some issues. You got a fever, but we don't know what it is. God does, and you do. Amen. It's a deep-rooted issue. A lot of times you want to deal with the fever, amen, but you don't want to deal with the root problem.
Some of y'all in this room have been hurt in such ways that you can't heal nobody. Some of y'all medicate that problem yourselves. Some of you go to doctors to help medicate that problem. And some of you are just grit your teeth and trying to make it through. Because you've been hurt so bad. And some of you got hurt by people which were supposed to hurt. They weren't supposed to hurt you. You have a hard time loving anybody. I'm just going to go ahead and step on in if you don't mind. Some of y'all have a hard time trusting the Heavenly Father because the Earthly Father let you down. You're sitting there thinking, man, if he's a dad and you quit letting God be your dad, then you think, man, there's no way I want to trust him with everything because I trust him with everything and he hurt. Maybe you had some dad figures in your life and they hurt you. All we can do is be on this church, Richard. Some of you boys, you've been hurt. Some of you men, you got a dead boy. You got a fever. Some of y'all got a temper. Some of you are angry. Some of you are mad. Some of y'all are frustrated. Because guess what? You got a fever. It shows on the outside, but on the inside is a real problem. Some of y'all lost some people. Some of y'all seen some people pass away in your lives, and you're so angry about it, so bitter about it, so mad about it, and you never told nobody. You know what? You let it just simmer. You never told anybody. I don't know why God took my sister. I don't know why God took my brother. I don't know why God took my mom. I don't know why God took my dad. I don't know why God took my husband. I don't know why he took my wife. Some of y'all are sitting here on a regular basis. You say, I love God. Oh, he's good. But then every once in a while, you tell him how you really feel. Wouldn't it be good if you'd say, God, stop touching my fever and touch my real problem? Because you know what happened as soon as Peter's mother-in-law got touched? You know what she did? What was it? Yeah, I think Mel answered correctly. She got up and went back to ministry. The problem with some of y'all in this room, the reason the ministry won't open up to you, the reason you can't do all the things you want to do, is God ain't touched that real problem. See, God wants you in full-time ministry. He wants you doing what you want to do. So guess what? He's got to get the finger broken. He's got to get that thing healed up. God, I wish y'all could see this. She's laying on that bed. She's hurting. She's like, oh, God, God touched her. She cooks a meal. She cooks a meal for Jesus and blesses him, and then all of a sudden there's some more people brought. And there's a multitude of people who come in that was sick and can be healed. See, guess what? God wants to heal you of your big problem. That way, he can work through your conduit. He can work through your ministry to touch a multitude of other people. But he can't do that if you keep coming in here and sitting on these pews and saying, God, deal with the fever, not the real thing that's broken in me. The hurt that nobody ever knows about. We all stand as he comes and gets a song of invitation.
Are you hurting? Because the sermon has ended and we're coming down off the mount. And now it's time for you to come up here and say, God, here's the issue. It's an out issue. It's a far away issue. Or guess what? It's a deep-rooted issue. Listen, if you got one of those issues, this is the place for you this morning. Come and seek the Lord while he may be found. I don't know what you're waiting for. I don't know why. If you're waiting for a song,
go ahead, Kyle.
Go ahead. But come on if you want to come on.